Good evening, everyone. We're going to make a wee start just to our meeting tonight by singing together the hymn number 290. 290 is the hymn number. You'll find it on the page 293. Come with me, visit Calvary, where our Redeemer died. His blood it fills the fountain. 'Tis full, 'tis deep, 'tis wide. He died from sin to sever our hearts and lives complete. He saves and keeps forever those lying at his feet. A wonderful old gospel hymn, and reminding us how Christ saves to the very uttermost. We'll stand as we sing, and singing it out with all of our heart. Let us stand as we sing. Well, we just unite our hearts together, please, in a word of prayer. Let us all pray. Our gracious God, our loving, eternal Father in heaven, we come before Thee in this the evening of Thy day. We come through the name of Thy Son, our Saviour, the Lord Jesus Christ, the One who is the only mediator between God and man, the man Christ Jesus. And Father, we thank Thee afresh this evening for all of Thy goodness and grace toward us today already. We thank Thee for the wonderful blessing of the Lord's Day, that day of rest, that day of worship, that day when we can gather together publicly to acknowledge God, to worship Thee, to seek Thee and to call upon Thy name and to hear Thy precious and holy word. And Father, we thank Thee for Thy blessings to us throughout today already. But Lord, we do not rest upon past blessings. We need Thee afresh tonight in this gospel meeting. We thank Thee, Father, for the great truth of this hymn of which we have been singing. We thank Thee for the Lord Jesus Christ, the Savior of sinners, the One who is able to save even to the very uttermost all that come unto God by Him. And Father, we thank Thee that the Lord Jesus Christ come into this world to seek and to save that which is lost. We thank Thee for His sinless, spotless, perfect life, that He did no sin, that He knew no sin. Yet, O God, we thank Thee that He became our sin-bearer on the cross of Calvary. And Lord, Thy word tells us that He was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. And Father, we praise Thee and we thank Thee, O God, that with His stripes we are healed. We thank Thee tonight for the precious blood of Christ, the remedy for all our sin, that remedy that cleanseth us from all our sin and that makes us whiter than the snow. Father, we just commit this meeting to Thee tonight. We pray from this opening hymn to the last amen that we might know much of the presence and the blessing and the grace of God to be our portion. We think of Christ, how He said, where two or three are gathered in My name, He has said, there am I in the midst. And we would claim that promise tonight. From the opening hymn to the last amen, draw near. Lord, outpour Thy Holy Spirit upon us. Bless all who have gathered tonight to hear Your word. Bless every believer in Christ, every Christian in this meeting. Do strengthen Thy people. Lead Thy people on in their faith and in their walk with God. And for any, Lord, that may be walking afar from Thee tonight, Lord, restore such unto Thyself. We thank Thee that Thou hast promised to restore the backslider. And Lord, for any with us tonight not saved, perhaps maybe no stranger to the gospel, yet they've never taken that step of faith and came in faith and in repentance unto the Lord. We pray that even tonight they'll seek the Lord while He may be found and call upon Him while He is near. Remember any who cannot come because of age, sickness, and infirmity, bless them. Those that are in hospital tonight, lay Your healing hand upon them. Lord, those that mourn, have suffered loss, do comfort their hearts and be their helper and be their strength. Remember Thy servant tonight who has come to sing. We thank Thee for her. We pray that Thou would bless her as she ministers in song. Lead her and guide her and direct her by Thy Holy Spirit. Make her a blessing. And remember Thy servant tonight who has come to share a personal word of testimony, to tell of what the Lord has done for him and what the Lord means to him. We pray that Thou would bless him and be with him. Fill him with Thy Holy Spirit and use him for Thine honor and for Thy glory. Lord, just visit our gathering tonight, even, Lord, with salvation power and salvation blessing. And what we pray for here, we pray for wherever tonight Thy word is faithfully proclaimed across our land, across our province, south of the border, and the mainland of Britain as well. Bless every faithful ambassador for the Lord Jesus Christ. And even tonight, here, there, and yonder, as Thy word would be sounded forth, there'll be those that will trust Christ as their own and personal Savior. Bless us now, we pray. Do every heart much good. Glorify the Savior. And all that will be said and done tonight, we ask it all. For Jesus' sake and for Thine eternal glory, we pray. Amen and amen. We're very glad to have with us tonight as our guest soloist, our good sister in Christ, Mrs. Grace McClintock. Welcome her, her husband Stephen, their daughter as well. Nice to have them with us and renew fellowship with them in the gospel. We're going to ask now them to come and bring our first message and song. Lord bless you.
God, the uncreated One, the author of salvation, who wrote the laws of space and time and fashioned worlds to His design. The one whom angel hosts revere hung the stars like chandeliers, numbered every grain of sand, knows the heart of every man. He is King forever. He is King forever. He is King forevermore. God, our fortress and our strength, the rock on which we can depend. Matchless in his majesty, his power and authority, unshaken by the schemes of man, never changing, great I am. Kingdoms rise and kingdoms fall. He is faithful through it all. Crown him King forever. Crown him King forever. Crown him King forevermore. Mighty God, immortal flesh, forsaken by a traitor's kiss, the curse of sin and centuries did pierce the lowly Prince of Peace. Lifted high the sinless man, crucified the spotless lamb, buried by the sons of man, raised up by the Father's hand to reign as King forever, reign as King forever, reign as King forevermore. King eternal, God of grace, we crown you with the highest praise. Heaven shouts and saints adore your holy, holy, holy Lord. What joy in everlasting life! All is love and faith is sight. Justice rolls and praises rise at the name of Jesus Christ. King of kings forever. King of kings forever. King of kings forevermore. In the Bible we read the sweet story of old, which to thousands on earth is more precious than gold. It tells of a Savior who came from above to reveal to lost sinners God's wonderful love. Was born in a manger, a stranger was he, despised and rejected and nailed to a tree, to put away sin. As a lamb he was slain, then God raised and received him to glory again. But now since he's risen and gone up on high, he's preparing a home for his own in the sky. And now in his word, sure the promise is plain. If I go away, I will come back again. Oh, why not believe the sweet story of old? Then you will agree it's more precious than gold. To know sins forgiven, no judgment to dread, since Jesus the Savior has died in your stead.
Thank you to our sister Grace for coming and singing those lovely hymns, and we pray the Lord will bless them to your heart. And I praise God for Christ being one who is King of kings and Lord of lords, and he came to this earth to be our Savior. And our prayer is tonight, if you're not saved, that you'll come and put your trust in Christ and taste and see that the Lord is good. We thank our sister for coming. She'll be coming a little later on again to sing for us. I want to welcome everyone tonight in the Lord's great name. It's good to see each one gathered with us here to our gospel service tonight. We bid you a very sincere and warm word of welcome in the name of our Savior. Indeed, if you're visiting with us, we trust that you'll feel at home. You'll know the blessing of the Lord in your heart and in your soul. If you're a believer in Christ tonight, may you be strengthened in your faith and in your walk with God. And if you're here tonight and you're not saved, you're not yet a Christian, our prayer is that even tonight you'll take that step of faith and put your trust in Christ and go home saved, forgiven through the blood of Christ, and be sure of heaven and ready for glory. We do welcome also those that may be viewing online as well. We thank you for joining with us. We pray the Lord will bless you and minister to your needs tonight as well through his word and through his truth. We'll also give a special welcome tonight as well to our good brother in Christ, Mr. Gregory Gibson. He's come quite a journey from Dervock up in North Antrim, and we welcome him tonight in the Lord's great name. Our brother's a third-year student in the Whitfield College of the Bible, and he's coming tonight to give a personal word of testimony to tell how the Lord saved him and what the Lord means to him. And you know, there's many things in life that that people can have or a person can have, but the most important thing in life is to have a testimony of the Lord's saving grace and the Lord's keeping power. And that's what our brother's going to share with us tonight, what the Lord has done for him and what the Lord means to him. We pray the Lord will bless him in his studies as well at Bible College, and that the Lord will bless him and his wife and their family, and that the Lord will encourage them in the Lord. And I just leave with you some announcements, please. Tuesday night here in the church, 8 p.m., the midweek prayer meeting and Bible study. We commend that to as many as possible. I encourage a believer, keep Tuesday night free and join with us for the time of prayer and Bible study. I belong to minister God's word. Remember, in your prayers also, the Bethel Children's Crusade meetings this week, Tuesday night Tresna, Thursday night in Maguire's Bridge, Friday night here in Bethel at 6:30, and pray for those meetings and Gillian and all who help out, that they'll know God's blessing and grace. Friday night, 8 p.m., the youth fellowship meeting here. We commend that to all the young people. Trust as many as possible will gather. Mr. Richard Edwards will be the speaker to the youth on Friday evening. There's also coming Friday, 8 p.m., is our monthly meeting of our church presbytery, and that's up in Newton Abbey, Free Presbyterian Church. Next Lord's Day, the 4th of December, Sunday school and Bible class, 11 a.m., the morning prayer meeting, 11:30 a.m., the morning worship service, 12 noon, we belong to bring God's word. Immediately after the morning service is the Lord's table, and that is open to all who are saved and walking in fellowship with the Lord. If you know and love the Lord as Savior, the Lord invites you to remember his death in his own appointed way. The evening prayer meeting at 6:30, and then 7 p.m. our gospel service, will be the annual Parents' Night meeting for the Bethel Children's Crusade. For the various children's meetings, the boys and girls will be coming, taking part. So pray for that, make it known, and do all you can to invite relatives and friends, grannies and granddads, aunts and uncles along. And the guest speaker will be Mr. David Cahoon from Dungannon, so be much in prayer for that. As we mentioned also, our brother, the Reverend Gordon Cook, God willing, will be 90 at the beginning of the month of December, and our church committee are sending him a birthday card. If you'd like to put your signature to that card, it's out there on the table. This will be the last Lord's Day that will be there, so do remember that, please. The Ladies' Fellowship Christmas dinner, Monday night, the 12th of December, at 7 p.m., in the restaurant at Enniskillen Mart, and all ladies are most welcome, and welcome to bring your friends as well. I suppose the only downside to that is that we men have to stay at home that night and have beans and toast while the ladies go out and enjoy themselves. But do remember that, and that's open to all ladies who wish to go. Mrs. Caroline Moore wishes to thank all who responded to the shoebox appeal. These have been delivered and will be going out soon to Eastern Europe for the Christmas time. Do please pray for the calendar distribution here in the community from the 12th to the 16th of December in the afternoons of that week. Pray for that. Pray for God's printed page, that God would bless it. And if you can help with the distribution of these, do let us know. And then just another date for your diary. Our annual Christmas carol service will be on the Lord's Day, the 18th of December, here in the church at 7 p.m. And then, as we mentioned this morning, we'd like to express our sincere Christian sympathy to our brother, Mr. Colin Maxwell. His wife, Olive, and son, Andrew. Colin's brother passed away on Friday morning, and we assure the family of our prayers and our sympathies at this time of loss and bereavement. That's all by way of necessary announcements. We're turning again in our hymn book to hymn number 510. 510. We don't take up an offering during the meeting, but the offering plates are at the rear. Do remember that as you leave. And this is a wonderful hymn of testimony. This is a testimony meeting. This is a testimony hymn, 510. How I praise thee, precious Saviour, that thy love laid hold on me. Thou hast saved and cleansed and filled me, that I might thy channel be. Channels only, blessed Master, but with all thy wondrous power flowing through us, thou canst use us every day and every hour. Praise God, when the Lord saves, he changes a life. And by his grace and power, he enables us to live for him and for his glory. 510, standing as we sing and singing it out with all of our hearts. Let's stand as we sing.
Oh,
Well, we do welcome our sister Grace again. We're going to ask her now to come and bring her final message and song. Thank you.
God sent His Son down from heaven above, filled with compassion and infinite love. Trust Him today and make Him your choice. Oh, how the angels will sing and rejoice. Oh, how the angels will sing and rejoice. Listen, dear sinner, to His loving plea. He is now waiting in mercy for thee. Oh, hear Him pleading in tenderest tone. I died for thee, O thy sins to atone. I died for thee, O thy sins to atone. Though you have wandered on mountains of sin, yet by His cross work your heart He would win. Patiently He waits with His arms open wide. Oh, how He wants you with Him to abide. Oh, how He wants you with Him to abide. Jesus, my Savior, your debt He has paid. All of your burdens on Him can be laid. Give Him your heart and be cleansed from all sin. You He will pardon, just let Him come in. You He will pardon, just let Him come in.
Thank you to our sister Grace for coming and singing. May the Lord bless that message to every heart tonight. If you're not saved, oh, that your heart's door would open tonight, that you would swing that heart's door open, and that you would trust Christ and call upon Him for salvation. We thank our sister for coming, and we pray the Lord will richly bless her as she serves the Lord and sings for Him and makes praise to His glory and for His kindness and grace in salvation. Now, we welcome again our brother tonight, Mr. Gregory Gripson. We welcome him in the Lord's name, and we pray the Lord will bless him now as he reads to us the Scriptures and tells what the Lord has done for him, what the Lord means to him. And may he know God's presence and help and grace, and may he be the Lord's messenger tonight in the Lord's message. God bless you.
Well, good evening, and it's good to be here. I want to thank your minister for having me along tonight. It's, you already said, it's great to have a testimony to share of the saving and of the keeping work of our Lord and Saviour Jesus Christ. And that's what I want to present tonight. It is Christ, it's not myself who Gregory Gibson is, but it's what the Lord Jesus Christ has done in my life. If you have a copy of God's Word with you tonight, I want to read a few verses from 1 Timothy. 1 Timothy and the chapter number 1, please. 1 Timothy chapter 1. We'll read from verse number 12 onwards. 1 Timothy chapter 1, verse 12. God's Word says, "And I thank Christ Jesus our Lord, who hath enabled me, for that he counted me faithful, putting me into the ministry, who was before a blasphemer and a persecutor and injurious, but I obtained mercy because I did it ignorantly in unbelief. And the grace of our Lord was exceeding abundant with faith and love which is in Christ Jesus. This is a faithful saying, and worthy of all acceptation, that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am chief. Howbeit for this cause I obtained mercy, that in me first Jesus Christ might show forth all longsuffering, for a pattern to them which should hereafter believe on him to life everlasting. Now unto the King eternal, immortal, invisible, the only wise God, be honour and glory forever and ever. Amen." And we'll end our reading at verse 17. Trust the Lord will bless it, even to your hearts as we have read from his inspired word. This perhaps could be bow for a moment in prayer. Let's ask for the Lord's help, even as we read that portion, and ask him to bless the testimony even now. Our Father and our God, we humbly and reverently bow in thy presence this evening. Lord, we're so thankful for even a testimony to have tonight, a testimony to share because of what the Lord Jesus Christ has done. We thank thee tonight, Lord, for salvation's plan, for that wonderful plan of redemption, where Jesus Christ came into the world to save sinners. And Lord, tonight we pray that that will be our message, Lord, the message of the cross, the message of the shed blood of Christ. And we pray that even tonight that it will fall upon some heart tonight, and some dear soul will come and put their trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. Oh Lord, we pray tonight that our mission, if you like, Lord, would be to uplift Christ, to glorify him in all of his fullness. We pray, Lord, that anything that is of me will fall to the ground and will be as nothing, be as dust, Lord. But Lord, we pray that even Christ tonight will be seen alone. And so, Lord, bless us, we pray. Just give us the help that we need, Lord. Take away those nerves and fears that are here, Lord. And we pray, Lord, tonight that you will be glorified. For it's in Jesus' sake we pray those things. Amen. Whenever I have the opportunity to go around and to give my testimony, I always like to begin by reading the words that we've just read together from 1 Timothy chapter 1. And that's for a very obvious reason. It's because these are clear words of testimony. Clear words of testimony by one of the greatest preachers this world has ever known, the Apostle Paul. And in this portion of Scripture, we have what I believe is a summary of the gospel. For they tell tonight of the grace and of the mercy that Paul had received from the Lord Jesus Christ. See, Paul here in this portion, he calls himself the chief of sinners. And whilst I would never compare myself to the Apostle Paul, I in some way can relate to his feelings. See, I stand before you tonight as nothing more than a sinner. A sinner who has been saved by the grace and by the mercy and by the love of Jesus Christ, as undeserving as I am of it. And that's the message that we read tonight in 1 Timothy 1, verse 15. That verse says, "This is a faithful saying, and worthy of all acceptation, that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am chief." And I love these next words in verse 16. "Howbeit for this cause I obtained mercy." And this is the message that I want to present tonight through this personal word of testimony. Because there is mercy tonight. There is forgiveness in the Lord Jesus Christ. And that is because of what Jesus Christ has done. It's because of the wonderful work on the cross of Calvary that man, woman, and children can be saved They can live tonight with that assurance that when they die, they will go to heaven. And that truth became my reality just over 7 years ago. I realized that I was a sinner. I realized that nothing that I could do would ever earn favor with God. My good works, being a good person, all of those things that I was relying on, my religion as well, none of that was ever going to get me into heaven. Because the only way tonight to get into heaven is through this person, the Lord Jesus Christ. And it's through repentance over sin. It's through faith in what Jesus Christ has done on the cross. And as your minister said tonight, I'm in the Bible college. And they like to train us to preach, to do many things. And we always like to split our message up into 3 points. And I want to do that tonight with my testimony. We're going to have 3 points, a start and a middle and an end, if you like, because I think that helps for you to follow along. So I'm going to spend a little bit of time tonight telling you about who I was before I was saved. Who was Greg Gibson before the Lord saved him? Well, my life began in the same way as anybody does the day they were born. And I was born on the 15th of May, 1991, part of a family of seven. Two brothers, two sisters, and a mum and dad, of course. And you maybe can detect from the accent, maybe not, but I'm from County Armagh. Spent the majority of my life living in the towns of Lurgan and of Kirkgavin. And I wasn't brought up with the privilege of Christian parents. And if you're here tonight and you have Christian parents, I want you to know that is a privilege. It's such a privilege to have parents who are saved. See, in our house, the Bible was never really opened. To put a religious label on myself, I would have identified at the time as a Roman Catholic. Mum and Dad, they were faithful in sending me to a Roman Catholic primary school. I was christened as a baby, had my first communion, first confirmation. All of those things that you do within that religious system. And they did that because they believed that was giving me the best start in my life. And whenever I give my testimony, I always like to begin by thanking them for that. Thanking them for all the love that they've shown to me throughout my life, and they do even to this very day. Because they thought they were doing what was best for me. See, I grew up believing that because I ticked all of those boxes, whether it was communion, confirmation, christening, or baptism, that I was going to go to heaven. I was already saved. Being a Roman Catholic, being a good person, that's enough to get me into heaven. That was my mindset as a child. That's what I was relying on. Perhaps that's your same mindset tonight here. I don't know you. Maybe it's not Roman Catholicism, but maybe you're a Protestant here tonight. Maybe you identify as some other religious title. I want to simply tell you that religion does not save. Being a Catholic, being a Protestant, being a Muslim, a Hindu, whatever you want to call yourself, that will never get you into heaven. Because the Bible declares that we're all sinners. And because we're all sinners in the sight of God, we need a perfect sacrifice. We need the Lord Jesus Christ to save. I moved into my teenage years. I like to call them my rebellious years because as teenagers, that's what we like to do. Rebel against our parents. They don't understand us. All of those hormones flying about and they're trying to ruin our lives. And I began to put less value on religious labels. I got to the point in my life, probably about the age of 12 or 13, where I said to myself one day, what's the point? I'm not wasting any more of my life on this. I don't believe in God. Why am I going to church? Why am I doing all these things? God's not real. And at that point in time, I said goodbye to the Lord, if you want to put it that way. Any belief that I had in him existing had vanished. And you know, life for me didn't really change very much at the age of 13. Things continued on. I finished school. I got the grades then to go down to university in Belfast, to Queen's. At the age of 18, I moved down to the big city. A real culture shock for me. Living in the town of Lurgan, living with my parents who were quite strict. No parents now to tell me what to do, when I had to go to bed, when I had to be home. All of those things I'm sure many of you tonight like to tell your children. Both my parents, they would have drunk alcohol on occasion. Not very often, but on occasion. And therefore, I was quite sheltered to that lifestyle. But I moved up to Belfast at the age of 18 and it was everywhere, it was all around me. Alcohol, drugs, other things were so readily available to you. I didn't take any drugs myself personally, but I did drink alcohol. And it began for me, one drink or two drinks. And you know, that's how it always begins. It's one, two, before you know it's three, four, and five. Going to parties most nights of the week. And it quickly turned into a habit. It did. I was quite a shy, quite a quiet person. And whenever I tell people that, they're always kind of smile because you're standing up here, you're giving your testimony, or you're preaching. How can you be shy? But I am a shy person. I'm quite a quiet person. And alcohol gave me confidence. That's what it does. That's one of the things it does. It makes you feel like you're on top of the world. And I liked it because I was popular. I was running in with the crowds. I was no longer that nerdy person in school who loved chemistry and chess and astrology and all of those things. Whenever I was in school, if I wasn't so big, I probably would have got beaten up for. But alcohol made me popular. I finished my degree in chemistry. I then had the opportunity to go on to do a PhD, which I said yes to because it was another 3 years of living the party lifestyle. 3 years of not having to grow up or getting a job, becoming a responsible adult. And I was going to get paid to go to university. That would help to fund my lifestyle. And during my PhD, I would meet a woman called Rebecca. And Rebecca is now my wife and married to her. No idea at the time that that was going to happen. We were very different people. For one, she was a Christian. I wasn't a Christian at the time. And we became friends. I said that was okay. We could be friends. As long as she doesn't try to convert me, as long as she doesn't try to bring me to church, that's okay. And of course, God in his providence, he had a plan for me. He brought her into my life for a reason. One night, conversation came up. Would you like to come to church with me? Maybe I didn't want to offend her, but I said I would go. And we went to a family night service in Ballymoney. That's her home congregation. And I went with very little expectation, really. I went. Remember, I already was saved. My Roman Catholicism, my good works, they had saved me. Didn't matter what that minister said, it wouldn't have made a difference. But you know, I was in for a massive shock that night. Because as the minister preached, he told me for the first time in my life the true and simple message of salvation. He told me I was a sinner, but that Jesus Christ had came to take away sin. That I needed to be saved from that sin. And you know, that was a total shock to me. A total shock because of everything I've already said. I was already saved. I was going to heaven. I was just living my life. And he told me that. See, in the Roman Catholic religion, it's all hope. I hope you can go to heaven. I remember having so many conversations with a priest. And am I going to go to heaven whenever I die? And his response always was, well, Greg, I hope you're going to go to heaven. I can't guarantee that. Nobody knows. But if you do this, if you do that, and you do the other, then you can be pretty certain you're going to go there. And yet that night in Ballymoney, I was told, yes, that I was a sinner. But I was also guaranteed 100% from God's word that I could be saved. That I could be assured of heaven if I would only put my faith and trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. I left that night and I thanked Rebecca for the invitation to come along, but I had so many questions. Because everything that I had known growing up, it all was blown apart now. I was a sinner. I needed to be saved. I slept on it, and to my shame, the next day, I had forgotten all about it. I got a text message from my friend, do you want to go to the pub tonight? It was Monday night, and that's the night we always went out to the pub. And as I went to that pub that night, as I ordered that drink, as I sat down at that table, it's really hard to put into words how I felt. Because I almost felt like everybody in the pub was looking at me. They were all talking about me. They all knew somehow that I'd been to church the day before. They all knew that I'd been told that I needed to get saved about hell. Of course, that was all in my mind. It was in my conscience. The Spirit was convicting me. But I remember then having a conversation during that week with Rebecca, and she invited me along to church again, and I grabbed that opportunity with both hands. Maybe it was because of the previous guilt, I don't know, but we went to church again that Sunday, this time to the martyrs in Belfast. And that would continue for the next couple of months. Every Sunday would come along, and we would go to church together. And my friends and my family, they all began to start noticing a change in my attitude. I was no longer going out to the pub, no longer drinking. I was making up all of the excuses that I could to avoid those things. And I was going to church on a Sunday. And for them, that was a massive, massive change. And that really leads me on to the second part of my testimony tonight. because I want to tell you just a little bit about how the Lord saved me. It was the 8th of November, 2015. That's the date I put on in the calendar, if you want to put it that way. But I do believe the Lord was working in my heart. He was convicting me long before then. But that Sunday morning, Rebecca, she drove over to pick me up. She lived in one part of Belfast. I lived in the other part of the city. And we would go to church. And for whatever reason, her brand new Volkswagen Golf arrived at our flat and it wouldn't start. It's the same car I've driven tonight, so I'm hoping that it'll start tonight and get me home. We couldn't get to church. I had to go into the flat. We put on sermon audio. We tuned into Ballymoney. I had enjoyed the preaching there. But, you know, not very much of what the preacher said that morning I can remember. I remember he preached from Revelation chapter 2, but unbeknownst to Rebecca at the time, I was under deep conviction of sin. Everything that I'd heard over the past few months about sin, about hell, about death, all of those things were now coming to a head in my mind, and I was really struggling with these things. And you know, the conviction, it was so strong that day. Whenever that service ended, I couldn't put it off any longer. I knew that the Spirit was convicting me, that he was telling me I needed to get saved, and I needed to get saved right there and then. And that morning, on my sofa in Belfast, I got down on my knees and I asked the Lord to save me. I told him that I was a sinner, told him that I needed him to save me, that I couldn't save myself. I asked him to forgive my sin, and you know he did that. He saved me just over 7 years ago, and he's kept me to this very night here, and I know he will keep me for all eternity, because whoever the Lord saves, he keeps. But maybe you've come tonight, and I don't know your situation, I don't know you personally. For whatever reason, one reason or another, you're not saved. Jesus Christ isn't your Savior. Well, I want to ask you a question. A very simple question, really. If you die tonight, and that's a real possibility, but if you die tonight, how are you planning to get to heaven? Let me rephrase that. How are you planning tonight to have your sin forgiven? You can't save yourself. Your obedience to the law, it can't save you. Your good works, your religious title, it cannot save you. How are you planning to get to heaven then tonight? Maybe you think tonight, well, that's a bit strong, isn't it? You don't know me. To call me a sinner? This is God saying this, it's not me. God's word declares you to be a sinner. Romans chapter 3, verse 23 makes it abundantly clear because it says, therefore all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. That little word all, it's inclusive. It means every person, man, woman, or child, it doesn't matter who you are, you're a sinner and you need to be saved from that sin. But Romans goes on to tell us about the result of that sin because in Romans chapter 6 and verse 23, it tells us that the wages of sin is death. And that death there is a twofold death because it's physical death, yes. You and I, we will all die one day. That's going to happen. But it's also speaking about spiritual death. Spiritual separation because of sin, because sin has separated you from God. And as sinners, we deserved that punishment in hell because of sin, but Jesus Christ, he came into this world, he took our place, he died on the cross for sin. Because yes, whilst Romans 6:23 tells us that the wages of sin is death, it presents wonderful news because it tells us also that the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Jesus Christ, he's provided the only way to heaven. And if you're here tonight without Christ, you can have this gift of salvation and eternal life in heaven. So the truth tonight is that all have sinned. The truth is that the wages of sin is death. But the good news for you tonight is found in Romans chapter 10, verse 13. Because that verse says clearly, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. And that word, whosoever, tonight, it's a wonderful word. Because it means it is open to everybody. There's no exclusions. It doesn't matter what you've done, what sins you've committed. Maybe here tonight you're saying, well, you don't know what I've done. You don't know the bad things I've done, and I don't need to know those things. The Lord Jesus Christ can save you. If you do as this verse instructs, if you call upon the name of the Lord, that means to pray. That's all it means. Recognizing tonight that you're a sinner. Recognizing tonight that you cannot do anything to save yourself. The Lord Jesus Christ, this book tonight says you'll be saved. It says, he that cometh unto me, I will in no wise cast out. What a guarantee tonight. I've told you a little bit about who I was before I got saved, told you how I got saved. But I want to spend the remainder of my time and my testimony tonight telling you about what the Lord has done in my life since he saved me. Because I have been saved just over 7 years. It was 7 years this month, actually. And I stand before you tonight, and I want to tell you truthfully, honestly, it is the greatest thing to ever happen in my life. Life, it continues to have ups and downs, trials and struggles, and that's just the way of the world. That's never going to change. But I have a peace tonight, a happiness and a contentment that I never had before. And that's because I have a guarantee from God that he will be there to help me through all the difficult times. I grew up, teenage years, trying to fill a void in my heart with all the things of the world. Things of the world can only do that temporarily. They can never fill that void. But you know, the Lord Jesus Christ, he's able to do that. He can fill that void. He's done it for me, and he can do it for you tonight. And I want to share with you three short stories, three short accounts of things in my life and how the Lord has been so good to me. See, not longer after I got saved, I remember going to tell my family and friends that I'd got saved. And I thought to myself, you know, that's going to be easy. They're going to be so happy for you. Well done. This is great, Greg. You've got saved. The reaction, however, was one of confusion. I remember sitting down with Mum and Dad, and they blamed themselves. They thought it was their fault. They thought they'd done something wrong in how they raised me. Brothers and sisters told me I was being brainwashed, told me I was joining a cult, I was wasting my life. Some of my best friends no longer would speak to me. And there's one verse in Scripture that really comforted me throughout those times, and it's found in Hebrews 13, verse 5. Second half of that verse, you know it well, says, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. And I just want to leave that as an encouragement to you all here tonight, believers. Maybe you're going through a similar situation. Maybe it's not family related, but you know, this is a promise for all situations. Because God says, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee in any situation. And yes, I lost some friends at that time through no fault of my own. But the Lord has been so good. He's brought so many new friends into my life. Friends who love God. Friends who have a similar desire to live their lives for him. And you know, my family, they still aren't saved. I'm the only one in my family who is saved. And so I would ask you to remember them, if you would, to pray for them. As I will try to remember your families, those here who have family members not saved. That God would save them. That's the desire of every Christian, that we would have household salvation. That my testimony would somehow be a powerful witness to seeing my family members, other family members brought in to the kingdom of God. But you know, I quickly realized after I got saved, I had another big decision to make. Maybe you won't think when I tell you it is a big decision, but it was for me because I'm a massive fan of sport. I really enjoy sport, and I used to play American football. Maybe you're looking at me, I always usually get a few smirks. Well, you're living in Northern Ireland, what are you doing playing American football? You're not in America. You may be also looking at me and saying, well, he's a big boy, isn't he? Well, whenever I played American football, believe it or not, I was a lot bigger than I am now. Because for anybody who knows anything about that sport, the bigger you are, the better you're going to be at it, because there's guys on the other side of the field and they're doing everything they can, running a million miles an hour trying to kill probably your minister here behind me who would have the ball. And so the bigger you are, the better you are. And that wasn't an issue before getting saved. But anybody who knows anything about the sport will know that most games are played on a Sunday, and therefore that presented a problem as a Christian, because the Bible is clear, gives clear instruction that the Sabbath, the Lord's Day, we're to honor it. It's a day where we are to rest from the affairs of the world, to spend time in public and private worship, and it's so important to do that. We all need that day of rest. Looking back now, you know, it should have been an easy decision to make, but I struggled with it initially, I did. Told myself it's going to be okay, I'll just go play one game or two games more. We just won the national title. I just got a nice shiny medal and I was looking forward to another season. Just wasn't ready to give it up. But I remember speaking, having a conversation with another Christian one day, a man called Mark. He's now my brother-in-law. He wasn't at the time, but he gave me some very simple advice that I would pass on to you all. Simply said, Greg, if you honor God, then God will honor you. And that's simple advice, but it's true advice. Not long after that conversation, I read a verse in my daily devotions in Matthew chapter 6, verse 24. And that verse says, "No man can serve two masters. For either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will hold on to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and mammon." And as I read that verse, I realized that I was only giving part of myself to God. Because American football, for me, truly was a god to me. It truly was an idol. It was something I loved more than anything in the world at the time. And yet I knew deep down that it would be wrong to go against the will of God. I remember ringing my coach, telling him I couldn't come back. I never played those one or two games that I said I would. I still enjoy sport. I still continue to follow American football as a fan, but I now dedicate my Sundays to the Lord. And that really brings me then to the final thing I want to share with you tonight. Maybe some of you will be aware of this, maybe some of you not. I know a lot of people were praying for us. But on the 11th of July, 2018, both Rebecca and myself, we were living in Manchester at the time, but we faced the biggest and most worrying time of our lives. I can say that honestly. Rebecca was pregnant, first child, a little boy called Daniel. And Daniel was born at 25 weeks and 3 days. He should have been born on the 21st of October, and he was born on the 11th of July. So just about 15 weeks early. And it was a very scary time for us. We were unsure whether he was going to survive. I know myself personally, in my mid-20s at the time, I had no idea that babies could be born so young. No idea that the survival rate was so good. I remember that night he was born, I'll never forget it, but he was born that night, and he weighed 915 grams. I remember ringing my mum up, and she's like, "Greg, it means nothing to me. I want it in pounds and ounces. Maybe you're asking the same tonight." 915 grams, it's just short of 2 ounces, or 2 pounds, sorry. Yeah, just short of 2 pound. And just to visualize that, maybe this week you'll go down to your shop, get a bag of sugar. He was roughly the same size and the same weight as a bag of sugar. A bag of sugar weighs a kilogram. He was even lighter than a bag of sugar. Whenever I give my testimony, I've started to bring a few things with me. People have seemed to enjoy that. Just to show you a few things that we kept from our time at the hospital. So I want to do that now. I'll give you an opportunity to not have to listen to me as well, but also just even to see those things. So we'll do that now. Just get them ordered. The first thing I have to show you tonight is a hat. And you may be thinking to yourself, well, Daniel's a boy's name, but that's a purple hat. Why is it purple? Well, time's of the essence. I'm looking around, as you always do, and I don't say it to offend anybody, but where do you lose your heat the quickest? It's through the top of your head, those people who maybe have a little less hair on the top. And whenever he was born, he couldn't regulate his own temperature. They had to put this in his head. It also helped with the breathing apparatus as well. And therefore, they grab the quickest thing that they can. And therefore, that's the first hat he had. And attached to that, we have a little blood pressure cuff. I'm sure many of you went to the doctors to get your blood pressure taken. It goes around your arm, doesn't it? Maybe hard to see it, but I'll leave these and you can see them afterward. But that's roughly was the diameter there of his little arm. So there again, he was very, very small. Top of that, I also brought with me, we all know what they are, a little dummy. Very good for keeping children quiet in church. But they're also very good for helping the babies to breathe at that age because it creates a vacuum with the game with the breathing apparatus. And that doesn't look very big at all, does it? Whenever you'll see it in the photograph here, if you look at it, from your nose to your chin, that fitted that whole place there. So about half the size of his face was that little dummy. I've also brought with me Daniel's first nappy. And I always like to make the joke, it's not actually his first nappy, because I had the misfortune of changing that at the time, and it's long in the bin. But this is the first size of nappy our little Daniel had to wear. And believe it or not, there's actually a smaller size than that. He was actually big for his gestation, and therefore, just again, something else to keep and to show you. One final thing I have with me is Daniel's first set of clothes. For about 6 weeks, he didn't need to wear anything. He was in an incubator. Everything was regulated. He was nice and toasty. But once they took the lid off, he had to get his clothes on. And therefore, this is his first little baby grow here. Again, not very big at all. It's something that you put on a doll. And here's his first little baby grow as well. Get a picture, there we go. And for me, being all fingers and no thumbs, these were great because they've actually made baby grows where you can actually take the whole top of it off and then clip them into it. So it was great for me with all of those wires. But these are just a few things. I have a few other things as well. If you want to see them afterwards, I'm more happy to show you. But I remember that night, he let a cry out, and I was so displeased to hear the little boy cry. He was immediately taken from us. He was checked over. He was tubed, hooked up to a ventilator. He was rushed off into intensive care. And he made it through the first night. He did. And I remember going up to see him 1 or 2 o'clock in the morning. And I wasn't sure what to expect at all. No idea. I barely got to see him at all. But you know, he was so, so perfect. I remember looking at him, his little fingers, little toenails, fingernails, eyes, nose, mouth. Everything was fully formed. He was just beautiful. Everything was so perfect, he was just much smaller. As I think about that, I always remind you of the words in Psalm 139, verse 14. That verse says, I will praise thee, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. And whenever I see them, we are fearfully and wonderfully made. And it was a difficult time for both Rebecca and me, no doubt about it. And it was also a time whenever we knew that we were powerless to do anything to change it. He was in God's hands. And many times, particularly in the early stages, we were unsure if Daniel was going to survive or not. He did everything he should have done. The doctors were very happy with him, but there was one major flaw that he had. And that's that every so often he would just stop breathing on us. And of course, that's vital for life. Whenever you and I take a breath, we don't think about it. It's involuntary. You do it without thinking. But his brain hadn't fully developed at that point. That part of the brain wasn't able to tell him, send the message. So therefore, every now and again, you would have had to just give him a poke just to remind him. And Daniel was in hospital for 99 days. We got to take Daniel home 3 days before his due date on the 18th of October. Many ups and downs throughout this day, but I honestly can tell you all tonight that God took care of it all. He really did. Every single day, he provided for us as parents, whether through a text message from friends, through a verse of scripture, just to encourage us. Protected Daniel every single day from major infections that of course, are part and parcel of hospitals. And Daniel is 4 years old now. He usually would be here tonight, but he is at school tomorrow, and it'll be a bit late for him. And he is such a blessing to us. He amazes us every single day. So thankful to God as we watch that little boy grow into a boy so full of life. He really is. Since then, we've had another little boy. We've been blessed with another little boy called Gideon. Gideon's almost 20 months now. Or he is 20 months, sorry. And that pregnancy, too, had its complications. But the Lord, as he always is, was perfect in his timing. And he allowed Rebecca this time to get the right help, the right treatment. And he was born at full term. And like all children, he's totally different. He really is. He is such an infectious, such a mischievous smile. He has us pulling her hair out for different reasons to Daniel had. But you know, our children are such a blessing from the Lord. I wanted to share just these experiences, particularly the last experience with you, because as Christians, you'll still have trials and difficulties. That's never going to change. We live in a sinful world. But you never face them alone. And whenever the outcome is God's goodness and God's grace, it is immeasurable. The Bible promises us that he will never leave us nor forsake us. And I want to tell you tonight, that is so true. He's a constant reminder, as Daniel, to my unsaved friends and family members, that God is so good. God's not good because we got to bring Daniel home. God's always good. Even in those things, whenever we think at times it's so bad, we don't understand things, God is still good in those things. Everything that God does, it's for our good. And it was a difficult time, it was, but it was also a time whenever the love and the faith that we have for our Savior as parents has only increased every single day. Daniel is a constant reminder to us to trust in a God who's able to do so much more than we can ever imagine. But you know, before Daniel was born, the Lord was beginning to work in my heart about full-time service. That, of course, took a back seat whenever Daniel was in hospital. But I remember the very first Sunday, going back to church, it was there again. go and serve me. Go and be a minister for me. And I got to the point where I no longer could ignore that it was so strong. Everywhere I went, the Lord followed with that same message. We were attending Liverpool Free Presbyterian Church at the time. I applied then to the Whitfield College as a student for the ministerial course. I was approved by presbytery. I had a very scary night there. I had to go and tell them all about it. I think your minister was there. I don't know. I wasn't looking at anybody. Maybe he was. He'll tell me after, maybe. But then we had to move back to Northern Ireland. And that really brings me up to date tonight, because I started Bible College September 2020. I'm in my third year, halfway through it now. I've had my first Hebrew exam. Another exam this week, theology, so please pray for that. Pray for all the students as well as we have these exams in the next couple of weeks. But you know, I honestly love Bible College. I love going every single day. It's an honour and a privilege that I get to have to go and to learn about my Saviour. It truly is an honour. But just as I bring this testimony to a close tonight, I want again just to address you here tonight without Christ. I want to ask you another question. Another simple question. Has anything that I have said tonight had any effect on you at all? Maybe you're here tonight and in the past, I don't know, you felt that desire to get saved, but you've put it off. One reason or another, I'll sort it out later. It's not convenient, I have to do too many things now, I'll do it later on. I've heard all the excuses. And I don't say that tonight to think I'm better than you, because I'm not, but I say it because I've used all of those excuses myself. I did everything that I could, all the excuses under the sun, to avoid getting saved. And if that's you tonight, could I warn you, as somebody who's been there, to not put it off? To ask Christ to save you tonight. The Bible tells us in 2 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 2, behold, now is the accepted time. Behold, now is the day of salvation. It doesn't say later on tonight when you go home after you've had your tea. It doesn't say tomorrow morning when you wake up and think about it, next week, next month, next year. It says now. There's urgency in that word. You ask me tonight, well, why now? Why not tomorrow? Well, very simply, this might be your last opportunity. This might be the last gospel message you hear. You might not have it tomorrow. You could go home tonight, you could leave this church, and it's a reality that we all face. Nobody knows what will happen. You could die tonight. And if you were to die tonight outside of Christ, then it's too late for you. You can't make things right after you die. It needs to be done now. You see, there is, of course, that lie, and it is famed in Roman Catholicism, other religions as well, that you can sort things out after you die. That you can go to an imaginary place called purgatory. You can pay for this and that and the other, and then you'll get saved. You'll be holy enough after a while, but don't worry about it now. It doesn't exist. The Bible says that if you do not get saved this side of eternity, you will never be saved, and you will go to that awful place called hell for all eternity. Maybe I'm speaking to one here tonight, and you've been coming to the church in Enniskillen for many years. You've even felt convicted in the past of your sin, and you know you need to be saved. You know the gospel so well, you've heard it all your life, but you still haven't trusted Jesus Christ as your Savior. And you're saying to me, I know I need to be saved, but not yet, I'm not ready. Could you be careful? Genesis chapter 6, verse 3 says, my spirit shall not always strive with man. I wonder, is there one here tonight, maybe more than one, and he's been striving with you? He's been dealing with your heart tonight, telling you that tonight is the night you need to get saved. Because the warning is, he won't always strive with you. There'll come a time when you reject him once too often, and an offer of grace will be withdrawn, and he will strive with you no longer. Now is the accepted time. My spirit shall not always strive with man. What do you need to do to get saved tonight? It's so very simple. Salvation is so simple, but we complicate it. Do as what it says in Romans 10, verse 13. Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. And that whosoever includes you tonight. I don't stand tonight as somebody just quoting a load of Bible verses to you. But I stand tonight as living proof, a living testimony of what God has done in my life, the change that he can bring. Because all I've said tonight, I can testify them to be true. And it's a truth that I am living every single day of my life, that God is real. What he has done in my life is real. And I want to tell you tonight, he can do the same for you. Don't leave this church tonight without Christ. Come and speak to us. Come and tell us your worries, your burdens, but don't leave tonight without Jesus Christ. Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall and will be saved. Amen.
We're just going to turn, please, in closing, in our hymn book to hymn number 281. 281. I want to thank our brother tonight for coming and sharing with us a personal word of testimony, how good it is to hear of the Lord's saving grace and keeping power in our brother's life. We pray the Lord will bless him, lead him on with himself. But if you're here tonight and you're not saved, oh, that you would seek the Lord, that you would not go out rejecting the Lord. For the Bible says, boast not thyself of tomorrow, thou knowest not what a day may bring forth. This hymn is really a hymn of testimony. It says, there is a fountain filled with blood, drawn from Emmanuel's veins, and sinners plunge beneath that flood, lose all their guilty sins. I do believe, I will believe, that Jesus died for me, that on the cross he shed his blood from sin to set me free. We're just going to sing verse 1, verse 3, and then verse number 4. Verses 1, 3, and 4, along with the chorus, standing as we sing. But if you're not saved tonight, oh, that you would seek the Lord and trust him to be your Savior. 281, verses 1, 3, and 4, along with the chorus. Let us stand as we sing. Just going to close a meeting and a word of prayer, but if there's one tonight and there's a concern in your heart, if we can be of any help to you, our brother, we'll be in no hurry away, only too glad to open up the word of God with you and point you to Jesus Christ alone, who's mighty and able and willing to save you for time and all of eternity. Heavenly Father, we thank thee tonight for thy presence. We thank thee for the singing of thy praises, the messages and song, for the reading of thy precious and holy word, and for the words of testimony. Thank thee for saving our brother, for keeping him, leading him. And Lord, bless those words of testimony tonight to every heart. Apply them by thy Spirit as thou would see or need. Lord, to the encouragement of every believer in Christ, oh, that we might serve thee and witness for thee and live for thee. But Lord, if there's any here tonight and are unsaved, unconverted, speak to them. And even tonight, may they heed the alarm bell from your word. May they trust Christ as their own and personal Savior. Take us to our homes in safety. Give us traveling mercies. Bless us throughout the week that lies before us, each one. For we ask all these things for Jesus' sake and glory. Amen. And amen.